feel like the Lord has given us a burden this morning for fathers. And when the Lord gave this to me, I really thought He was giving it to me for some other place, and I never even thought about giving it here at Guthrie. But I realized the Lord called for it here. So not anything we're not aware of or used to, but I just want to talk to us a little bit this morning to our fathers, that God would help us in our role, especially to our sons. I've been thinking for quite some time, months or more, and entreating the Lord, Lord, I would like for You to reveal to us why we are more successful with our daughters than we are with our sons as a whole, it seems to me. And I don't assume to have all the answers, but I'm going to give you what I feel like the Lord's given me at this point. And, you know, the Lord help us. I believe God wants us to gain the most of our children, if not all of them. I really believe God wants us to gain them. And the Lord help us to know how to not make critical errors in those things. And I know I haven't done everything perfectly with my children, but I have begged God to help me, and He has stood in for me lots of times. So we just want to share some things that the Lord, I feel like, has put on our heart, and whatever reason. Genesis 22, verse 1, we'll start there. And it came to pass after these things that Abraham, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. You know, I want to think a little bit this morning about some of the first elements between fathers and sons. You know, the first thing that Abraham was a man that I believe we can use for a good example. Abraham, he was in a situation here where God asked him to do probably the hardest thing in his life, harder than anything He's ever asked me to do, in the same sense. And Abraham never batted an eye. It says he rose up early in the morning, and he saddled his donkey, and he took off right where God told him to go. And you know, he was passing on something to his son right there that told messages of meaning to him that Isaac got a hold of in his life. Abraham, I know this is not just for fathers. All of us can use these things. But God asked Abraham, He said, I want you to take your only son, and I want you to go offer him for a burnt offering. Well, that staggers the mind, doesn't it? This was the son of promise. It wasn't not only his son, but as God said, your only son, the one I gave you, the son of promise, I want you to take him, and I want you to go offer him for a burnt sacrifice. And here, Abraham just rose up, he clave the wood, he cut his wood up for the sacrifice, he grabbed his things early and he took off, and he told Isaac to come with him. And you know, I believe Isaac caught a hold of a few things there that boys need to catch a hold of. My father is a man that obeys God. Doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how hard it is or what's in his life. It doesn't matter whether he understands it all or not. My father is one that obeys God. You know, this morning, I just want to entreat the fathers through this little message that God would help us to be in the place that Abraham was to his son. He was a role model to his son that walked before him and obeyed God and allowed God to have his way in his life. He didn't dilly around and wait around a couple of weeks and say, well, I've got to get the wherewithal up to do this. He didn't complain about it. He didn't murmur about it. He didn't say a lot of ugly things. He didn't just, you have no record of any of that. Abraham got up early the next morning and he got his wood together and he took off to do what God told him to do. You know, there's nothing we can send to our sons in training more than that. That's probably the greatest training we could give our sons. And fathers, I entreat us today. I know not all of our fathers are here, but I entreat us today to take up our path and do what God wants us to do. We want to train our sons to follow us, then pick up our cross and follow Christ. And when God calls upon us, let it be that we don't tarry around and that we don't mess around and get caught up in something else. God said, do it, get up and go do it. Let God be the center of our life. We want our children to follow after our example, this not only for men. We want our children to follow after our example, take God's way all the way, and don't tarry. We see Abraham gave his son some firsthand experience. You know, there's some other issues that come up in our lives. We have to learn through life. If we're going to live for God or if we're not going to live for God, we're going to have to learn how to deal with hard things. We're going to have to learn how to accept things that we don't always understand. And you know, the way we teach that to our children is that we do it ourselves. And when God calls upon us to do some hard things, that our life is not all about ease. Life is not all about what we want. It's about what God wants. And it's about being manly and being able and willing to get up and do the things that we ought to be doing. Men in this world today, it seems like many of them don't get up and go do what God wants them to do. I'm talking about in the world in general. We have many good men here. I just want to encourage us to follow that path and not allow anything to keep us from it. Our children need to know how to do hard things. They need to know how to do things that seems incomprehensible to the mind. You know, Brother Marty was here and he talked to us about his father. And he said they had a big rock outside his house and they wanted that moved. And there was no way. His father didn't have machinery and couldn't get it up there and all of that for whatever reason. And so his father decided, we heard the story not long ago, he just took a hammer to it, this big rock, a big thing. And he just started hitting on it and pounding on it, breaking on it. And you know, he said before long that rock was all gone. It was all gone because every day his father pounded away. You know, one of the greatest things we can give our children and our sons especially is that, son, it's not going to always be easy. We pound away and we do what we have to. If we do it 100 times and a little bit at a time, if it has to be done, we do it. That's what we teach our sons. We want them to endure hardness as good soldiers. Let's begin to teach them by example when they're at the youngest stage. Begin to let them see someone do it. That's one of the strongest powers a man can have in his life. You know, Isaac watched his father run around and move and live in the Canaan land. He watched him in a tent all his life. He was a rich man, Abraham was, a very rich man. He could have had what he wanted. But God told him what to do, and that's what he did, at the expense of what Abraham may have wanted to do. Abraham left his country. Isaac knew that and observed those things. You know, Isaac watched firsthand unselfishness on the greatest kind of display. Here was Abraham. He could have told Lot, his nephew, he could have said, "This is my land. I'll let you have a little piece over in the corner, and I want some from it." But you know, Isaac saw his father tell Lot, "Here's the land before us. If you take this side, I'll take that side. If you take that side, I'll take this side." And he gave Lot his choice. Now, you know, that doesn't seem like he didn't have to do that. He didn't need to do that. But Isaac saw his father being very unselfish. And you know what? We see a whole line of men that believed in God, that followed Abraham. They believed in the God that Abraham had. God was with Abraham as a result of his obedience and his yielding his heart to the things that God wanted. You know, these things, I believe they matter deeply when it comes to our children and in our sons. I'm just going to share the burden the Lord gave with me and leave it with us. You know, I want to read in Genesis 26. You know, Abraham, when he was traveling, there was a king called Abimelech, and he failed. He didn't perform too good right there, did he? And we see that he told Abimelech, he said, "Sarah's my sister." Well, she was his half-sister, but she was his wife too. And Abimelech took her. And thankfully, the Lord protected that situation for Abraham. But you know what followed him? I want to read Genesis 26 and 1 and read another story about the same kind of thing. And here was Abraham's son Isaac in the same land. And it says, "And there was a famine in the land beside..." Just a minute here. "There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar." I don't know if this was a grandson, a son, maybe the same one. "And the Lord appeared unto him and said, 'Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Wouldn't that make you feel pretty secure? God talking to you like that. "I'm going to give this to you. I'm going to give it to your posterity, to your children. And you're going to possess this land. Your posterity is going to possess this land." It seemed like that ought to make you feel pretty secure, to know that God said that of you. "Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, 'She is my sister.' For he feared to say, 'She is my wife.' Lest," said he, "the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." This is the power of what we pass to our children. You think Isaac didn't know what Abraham did when he came into that place? He knew. He may not have been old enough or born yet. I don't know exactly what age that was, but I believe it was before he was born. I'm sure it was. And we find him, now Isaac, doing the same thing. Same weakness. Now maybe some of those things we might say are genetic weakness. Some people might say, I want to tell you what, it's sin. This man did the same thing he saw his father do. Now I know Abraham, his wife was his half-sister. But we see Isaac here, And I want to read on down. And it came to pass when he had been there a long time that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how saidst thou she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." And Abimelech said, "What is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with her, thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us." And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Then Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and went forward and grew until he became very great. You know, this story is one that it challenges me. Lord, help me to live before my children in a way that when they get into a situation where they have to be honest or dishonest, that they don't choose to be dishonest. Where in a situation that is hard and they have to make a choice, that they have some lines clearly laid down before them. Folks, this is important. If we don't do this, how can we expect our children to do otherwise? I want to look. I know Abraham's life was as a whole very obedient to God, and the Lord blessed Abraham. In Genesis 18 and 19, the Lord said of Abraham, he said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." You know, the Lord testified of Abraham, and he said, "I know Abraham. He'll command his children after him." How was that going to be? By his example, by his walk with God, by his faith in God. His children after him for generations, all the way to the time of Christ, his children after him followed. Some of them erred at times. But we see how God dealt with them. We see how the Lord followed Abraham's sacrifice. And the Lord gave that to Abraham. He told him two or three different times, I think at least twice. He said, "Because you have obeyed me." And then he gave him promise of his posterity. I was thinking about some of the things that we want to pass on to our children. Work ethics. You know, work ethics are at a minimum today in our world. They are. Matthew works different, guys. And he tells me a lot about what he deals with continuously. It seems like a no-brainer. It seems like people ought to be able to get there and do their job well. But they're not able. Many are not able to think through the daily routines of how to do things. You know where they find out how to do things like that? From their fathers and their mothers. That's where they find out. They don't want to take the trash out. It's very important that we don't cave in and all the time do it ourselves. Because they need to learn good work ethics. They need to do jobs. They need to not only see us do our jobs, but they need to be held accountable to do their jobs as well. These are things that I know to us it's maybe a no-brainer to many. But you know, this morning, the Lord, I believe, wants us to get these things in our heart. Get them in our life. I'm going to pass these on to the next generation. I'm going to pass on how to work. I'm going to teach my children to work. I really believe that one of the things, and I believe this, one of the things that we suffer from is that while the sisters are able and so diligently spend time and pass on their things with their daughters, I think many times we are out of the loop with our many responsibilities and work. We've got to incorporate our boys into those things. And I want to challenge our men this morning to incorporate our boys into our lives. They must have more than only an example. I know men that I know are godly men. And I have found, and I mentioned this a while back with growing a garden, it's brought things so clear to me in some areas. You can do everything right, just let the pests come in and don't do anything about them, and you won't have anything. They will completely poison and destroy your plants. You won't have anything left at all. And you can have done everything right, except let the pests come in. You know, this morning, we can do everything right, but if we are absent from our boys all the time, and we don't spend sufficient time with them, we are most of the time going to pay a great and a large price. They learn things by bumping shoulders, by walking beside, by hearing us speak, by seeing how we handle things. Our boys learn those things. You know, it's critical that we don't... In the Old Testament times, we see basically a rural lifestyle. That's the way they lived. The fathers were right beside those sons all the time. And now today, many times, we have our own things. We're completely disconnected from them in the everyday life. I'm not saying that we can't be successful and do that. But I will tell you, we better be aware that it takes time. What Abraham did was he was with his son. His son was with him. He spent time with him. And I feel like this is one of the places that the Lord has helped me, I believe, to understand. This is one place we miss it. Brother Austis, a wonderful minister, that's one of the regrets that he had. I heard him say it with my own ears, is that he was gone all the time in the Lord's work. But the very core of where he of his life, his children, a godly man, he was gone from them all the time. And he said one day he realized what had happened. You know, this morning, I've heard it both on a tape and heard him personally say that. You know, this morning, God help us to be able to put the time into our families, the time into our children, our boys, our girls. Spend time that the things that we hold dear can just be passed to them. That they will see things that they can admire, things that they want in their lives today. I was thinking about enduring hardness. We talked about that a little bit. Work ethics, enduring hardness. You know, today, Matthew was telling us about someone on the job here a while back that I think they had smashed their finger, smashed their thumb or something, and it just totally ruined their day. In fact, I think maybe they quit or something over it. You know, when we smash our finger, we can't always quit. We maybe wash it off and put a Band-Aid on it, and we go back out there and it hurts and we keep working. You know what we're telling our children? You can't be managed by the things that are hard. You manage them. You do the things that have to be done and step up to the task and be manly. Do you know the Lord even tells the sisters to have virtue? That's manliness. When it comes to enduring hardness, when it comes to enduring things we don't want to do and don't like to do, you know, our children need to know, no, you can't sit down and throw a fit. No, you can't quit. I said you're going to do it and you're going to have to do it. We're teaching them something. You have to overcome who you are. I know this is some elementary things, but I believe that we pass these things as we spend time with them. Not only just time, recreational time. Not only those kind of times. Those kind of times should be there. But you know, the times when we're working hard are invaluable. The times when we show up, when we're supposed to show up, where we're supposed to show up, is important. You know, I believe, and I know I'm putting several things out there, but should it be ever said in our home, are we going to church tonight? I'm not throwing anything at anybody, and I mean that. But you know, I believe our children should know mom and dad go to church. They go to service and they're part of it. They're active. They're very interested in it. You know what that tells them? This is real important. This is more important than anything else. Because what God calls for, they will do. That's critical in our lives, is it not? Let it not be ever said. In our homes, are we going? Well, I know we might at times be completely worn out. Might get back off of a long trip. There's things like that. But folks, let's put the kind of things, the seeds into our children's lives and hearts that make them successful in the long run if they choose to take that way. I'm convinced that if we do it like that, many times they will. They will. I know they're their own moral agent. I know that God gives them that place, and not all of them are going to choose to be saved. But I believe we can lead them up real close to the foot of the cross if we live that way, if we lead them to that place. Teach them to endure hardness, integrity. Teach them to have integrity and truth. If they see us bending when the truth should be told, but it's not really. It's only mostly told. You know, they'll bend too. They'll likely take up that lifestyle, and God's not going to bless that. And so they're missing the whole dynamics of the thing because they start getting off course. And then where's the blessing of the Lord? Well, it's not going to be there, is it? It's going to be on these things of godliness, elements of truth, elements of being willing to endure hardness. God put us in this life knowing there's going to be many things we face. And He still put us in this life. He still allows all of those things, many of them to come, those things that He knows can work for our good. He allows, and only those things. We believe that, don't we? Let's teach our children that we believe that. He don't allow anything that He won't work for our good if we humble our hearts. God help us today. Discernment. You know, how do we pass discernment to our children? What is good and what is bad? Who is fake and who isn't? You know, in this world today, there's all kinds of people around. And the Bible plainly tells us to not believe every spirit. Don't believe everything you come across. You know how we teach our children those things? I know God has to put that in after a while, but we train them because they see how we deal with things. They see where we are and how we work with those things. Sometimes men are not true, and the Lord doesn't want us to pass on that they are true when they're not. Discernment, how to take success or disappointments and not let it damage your character. Those things are made to build us. Would God allow anything into our life that will not build us? I don't believe for a second that He would. What we have will build us. His Word says that the trying of our faith, that means the purifying, that means the melting down, that means the trying, that means the trial of our faith. That means our faith is put to the test. We actually feel the pressure against it. That is much more precious than the trying, the purifying of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. I want to read in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. The Lord gave, and Moses gave statutes and things to the children of Israel. And I think there's some here that can really help us to understand God's thoughts about how we pass on something to our children. I have been so burdened that the Lord would help us, that we don't lose them, that we help them to get established. And that takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of diligence on our part. And I know they have their own. We cannot save maybe every one of them. I know that. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. With all thy might. You know, this morning we will never be able to really pass what we want to pass unless it's in our heart first. He said these things, that you should love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. It encompasses everything, all thy soul and all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. It's going to have to be here first. How are we ever going to tell our children, give yourself to the Lord, consecrate yourself to His service, when we ourselves, they know whether we do or not? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. He said, you talk of these things to your children. You know, I believe sometimes there's the idea that our children just have to find, you know, we'll bring them around church and we'll bring them. It can be that way. I've seen that idea put forth at times. You know, this morning the Lord told the old Israelites, He said, you talk of it when you walk by the way, and when you get up, and when you lay down, and when you walk by the way, you talk about the things of the Lord. You have these commandments in your heart, and you teach them to your children. Now, you know, I know there's repugnant people that try to drive things into their children. But you know what? When it's your life and your love, and when it's everything you've got and you've given yourself to it, you know, you talk about it in a different way. The Lord wants us to teach our children. You want the paths of life that make men rich? Here they are. We talk of them to our children. We try to pass them to them. Let's be diligent about it. The Lord told them, you have it in your heart, and then you be diligent. All the while you raise these children, you make sure you're leading them to the paths of God. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. We're not hiding anything, are we? You know, this here tells me a couple of things. It takes time, and it takes years to write these things upon our children's minds and hearts. And the Lord has to open their heart to really fully let it in. But that can happen pretty naturally too. It takes years to do that. It takes time to do that. You teach them diligently, or do we just come in and have a little tiny prayer before we go to bed and that's it? I'm not wanting to throw stones or anything. Folks, I have been so burdened. God, help us to save our sons. I want to see the Lord work with us in this way, in a greater way. God, help us to save our children. And I believe many here are. And thank the Lord for that. But you know, this morning, let's understand the precepts and the concepts of how it happens that God can help us to be able to pass these things on. You don't talk to them diligently if you don't spend any time with them. Sit around the supper table. Let's don't let there be so many things in our life that it crowds out these more important things. Because these things are vital. They're vitally important. When you walk by the way, that means somebody's spending time with their son. It means somebody's spending time with their daughter. When you walk by the way, you're spending some time with them there. When you get up, you're at the same time with them there where you can talk to them. And when you go to bed. And all of those times, Lord, help us to be able to do that. I want to read to us. It's a little bit lengthy, but please bear with me. Clark's on Deuteronomy 6:25, the last verse of that chapter. It says, "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He commanded us." And Clark says here, on a very important subject in this chapter, it may be necessary to make some farther observations. Now this was, Clark finished his commentaries, I believe, for the most part, around 1825 or somewhere in there, I believe. And he said it's important to make some further observations. Now this was not yesterday or last year. This was in early 1800s he wrote this. "A most injurious and destructive maxim has lately been advanced by a few individuals, which is to be hoped is disowned by the class of Christians to which they belong, though the authors affect to be thought Christians and rational ones too. The sum of the maxim is this: children ought not to be taught religion for fear of having their minds biased to some particular creed, but they should be left to themselves till they are capable of making a choice and choose to make one. This maxim is in flat opposition to the command of God. And those who teach it," I'm just reading Clark's here, "those who teach it show how little they are affected by the religion they profess. If they felt it to be good for anything, they would certainly wish their children to possess it, but they do not teach religion to their children because they feel it to be of no use to themselves. Now, the Christian religion properly applied saves the soul and fills the heart with love to God and man. For the love of God is shed abroad in the heart of a genuine believer by the Holy Ghost given to him. These persons have no such love because they have not the religion that inspires it. And the spurious religion, which admits of the maxim above mentioned, is not the religion of God, and consequently, better untaught than taught. But what can be said to those parents who, possessing a better faith, equally neglect the instruction of their children in the things of God? They are highly criminal. And if their children perish through neglect, which is very probable, what a dreadful account they must give in the great day. Parents, hear what the Lord saith unto you. Ye shall diligently teach your children that there is one Lord, Jehovah." You know, in today's world, our children need to know that. There is only one Lord. And He doesn't have a bunch of different names and different religions. There's only one Lord. And He only has one way to get to heaven. "There is one Lord, Jehovah, Elohim, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And they must love Him with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. And as children are heedless, apt to forget, liable to be carried away by sensible things, repeat and repeat the instruction, and add line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, carefully studying time, place, and circumstances, that your labor be not in vain." Listen to that. Good advice. Carefully, it says, studying time, place, and circumstances, trying to be circumspect about the way that we deal with them so that they'll be open to what we teach them, that their spirit will not be closed to us, that bitterness will not be there. And then all that we teach them, they only want to go against it. They only want to go the opposite way. You know, all these things are so critical to our work with our children. I want to finish what Clark wrote here a little more. That your labor be not in vain. Show it in its amiableness. Excite attention by exciting interest. Show how good, how useful, how blessed, how ennobling, how glorious it is. Whet these things on their hearts till the keenest edge is raised on the strongest desire. Till they can say, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth I desire besides thee. That is an awesome little writing there. I'm carried away with the content of it. God help us that we will pass to our children, parents, diligently. We cannot lose a one. We cannot afford to lose a one. God help us to spend the time on our knees for them. When you see them getting in trouble, sometimes there's nothing we can do, especially at certain ages. We can only do our best, trying, praying, asking God for opportunity. But I will tell you one thing that works. Set aside some food and some time and start begging God, Lord, open that door. Bring that wall down between us and them. Humble ourselves to our children if we have to. Look, we don't want there to be walls between us. And I will say, I believe most of those battles can be won if we apply ourselves like we do to our business. Folks, we have things we do that we're diligent at, aren't we? We have things that we do that we're careful about. We learn well. We're careful to observe what makes it successful. You know, the Lord wants it to be so, even more so with our children. And He gives us a lot of guide to do those things. I just want to speak to a few more little things here. I was thinking about the critical errors, that we don't make critical errors. The thought that came to me was, I've got a mower that is capable of really mowing some grass. But what I found is that if it's a hot day and I've got it set low and I'm mowing a couple of acres, it can overheat. I can get it to the point that it starts making this real loud sound. And at first, I didn't know what had went wrong. But I found out, when you look at the heat gauge, it's over in the red at that point. And you know, and so I found you have to stop. You have to be careful of how much you're doing, not to overdo what the machine's made for. You know, this morning, those critical errors, those critical places, God help us as parents not to stay there. When we hear the sound go off, the alarm, there is no connection between me and my child anymore. That's an alarm. It's a critical alarm. Let's don't make critical errors. Well, I told them I'm right and I know I'm right. Folks, let's figure out how to get in there and get that door open and work with them where they'll receive those things that we speak to them. In 2 Timothy 2 and 2, we're about out of time, but 2 Timothy 2 and 2, listen to this. And the things that thou hast heard. Now, I'm going to start at 1, because Paul's writing to Timothy here, and he considered him his son in the gospel. And he said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And he's teaching his son some things here in the Lord. He said, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Pass these things to others. Men, pass them to your sons. Pass them to other men. When we find something, let's share with one another. Let's have enough heat about us that we mean to see this work. Lord, teach us. You know, I've found that when you get excited about something that works, if it's gardening or cars or whatever, people share those things, don't they? We don't have to share them in a negative way. Folks, we have the answers to life. God has put them in the book. And He's given them to us. And He's told us, I want you to share these things with your children. And He's told us here, He's told Timothy, and I believe that goes for us too. He said, you commit those things that you've learned to other men, faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. There's a work that the Lord wants to do. And many times it's easy for us to just take our way and not share. It's easier not to share than it is to share with others. But I believe the Lord wants us to be able to share. No man, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, the Lord has commissioned us in life and He's given us something to do, all of us. Let's make sure that we don't become so entangled with the affairs of this life that we cannot do what God has given us to do. For all of us, that's different things. But let's make sure that we don't get to the place that we can't do those things, because then we become an ineffective servant. And the guy that comes behind us becomes ineffective too. And he follows and many times enlarges on our mistakes if we're not careful. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, Timothy. He said, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Isn't that wonderful advice that the Word of God gives to us today? I want to just speak of a few other things. Proverbs 22 and 13, it says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. I'm thinking this morning about what a man imparts to a boy. You know, it's easy for us. We will impart what we are. But you know, he says here, the slothful man says there's a lion in the streets. There's something out there that I'm scared of and I'm afraid of. And the wise man tells us this in a very negative tense. Now, if the lion was in the streets, I'd be kind of worried about that. But Solomon's like, the slothful man just stays in his house. And he's afraid to go do what he needs to do. Folks, the Lord wants us to do some things in our life. And let's don't let the lion stop us from doing that. You know, the Lord wants us to teach our children, our boys, to sacrifice. You know, sacrifice comes at a cost to us. Not to someone else, but to us. We help people because we care about them. We help one another. We learn to stretch out and reach out and begin helping other people. That's a sacrifice. It doesn't pay any money. But when our children see us do that, that means something to them. We want them to learn to sacrifice. We teach them by example, primarily, and then by words as well, so they understand what we're doing. how to take a task and finish it. Teach them to be hardened to the wind, sweat, and toil. Teach them to be hardened to the wind, sweat, and toil. Hardened to the things that they have to face in life. Teach them that just because we don't like somebody else on the job or something is big against us, that we're hardened to that. We do it anyway. We do it because we have to. We have to support our family. We have to supply. So we sweat. So we feel bad. We come home tired. We come home maybe sick sometimes. You know what? We're teaching our children something when we do what we ought to do. But yet soft and tender to your wife. We don't teach them to be hard like the world, where they're impenetrable, where there's nothing that can penetrate, nothing that can soften them, nothing that can help. Teach them to be soft to those around them, to their feelings, to care when somebody's hurting, to be concerned about that, to care for their wife more than themselves. Men, I'm just thinking about strengthening our core. We lead not by pushing, not by force. There's a warped sense of leading in the world today. And it is that people, and it's always been, that people lead by force. They lead by because they're so aggressive, because they're... No, we lead by example. We lead because there's a vacuum behind us that's sucking people into it. That's the way we lead. Lead our families. Lead those that are coming behind us. Lord, help us not to make critical errors, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Just a couple more things here. I was thinking about Proverbs 29 and 15. It talks about a child. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Let's don't forget that. I have seen many times the example of those that the child is left to himself and not brought under and not trained. God help us to be fathers, to be mothers, that the child is not left to himself. He can't play all he wants to. He can't spend all that time on the computer. He can just spend a measure of time. And then we teach them diligently. Two more scriptures here in one place. Deuteronomy 6 and 17. Same chapter we were in. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land, which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. You know, it says here, that which is good, right and good, in the sight of the Lord. We live in a country today where everybody is supposed to be free thinkers. Whatever you think is right, is right, but that's wrong. It's wrong according to the Word of God. It says that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord. And so we study His ways. We seek to understand God's thoughts. And we pass those things on to our boys. Instead of letting our boys just dream empty dreams. I want to go and I want to do, and I have all of these things I want to do in my life. Help direct them. Help lead them. Help them get to where they want to be. And then they'll dream dreams that mean something. Their dreams can be meaningful dreams, not empty dreams of somehow selfish pleasure. And then they fall into so many pitfalls along the way. God help us all. I don't attempt to say I know and understand everything, but I just want to share the things that I do know and understand. And you all pray for us too. We long for the Lord to protect our family, because Satan is set against that too. I realize that in a moment of neglect, we will lose big. You know, we aren't any of us safe till we get to heaven. Folks, but none of us can neglect. Every one of us must be diligent about the things God has given us to do. You pray for me.